All right, let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. And they'll deliver them discreetly right to your doorstep. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with the promo code BROS. Tried a bunch of their gummies myself, and it's wild how different each one feels. Their sleepy time gummies knock me out in about 15 minutes flat. No hangovers, no grogginess. I wake up feeling amazing the next day. And their epic euphoria gummies, well, they're perfect for those days when nothing's going right and you just need to hit the reset button on your shitty mood. What makes these different is how they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere else, for that matter. And they've got gummies for literally everything. Immune supports, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS. And they can ship to almost every single state in the United States of America. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off with their first order with code BROS. So head on over to Mood.com. Browse their amazing selection of functional gummies and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use the promo code BROS at checkout to save 20% off your first order. Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get, well, not that good at it. You could do about half of your New Year's resolutions. You could, I don't know, join a CrossFit gym or something like that. Or you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. So, men, if you're out there and you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find out which one works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there is no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if a treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/DrinkinBrosSports. That's Hims.com/DrinkinBrosSports. For your personalized hair loss treatment options, Hims.com/DrinkinBrosSports.
Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawk. We're back Everyone's in office on this Friday, and we're here to talk about some Braves baseball. Although we're doing it early, because I guess you're not going to be in the office for long.
No.
Where are you heading out to?
To North Carolina.
Okay. Yeah, so we got an early edition of Tomahawk this week, but we do have an edition of Tomahawk this week. I'm Rob Fox, joined as always by Dan Holloway. And like I said, we're here to talk some Braves baseball. Nice little series just wrapped up with the Reds. Took three of four.
Yeah, it's, you know, some things are starting to get better. Most aren't. Like Raisel Iglesias is having the worst year of his career right now. And TBD on if he turns it around, we'll see. I mean, he's a pro and a feel pitcher. Like, his changeup is his most important pitch.
Yeah.
Locating the fastball, obviously, but his changeup is his most important out pitch and just doesn't have a feel for it right now. And that happens sometimes.
Yeah. No, it's been a bad start to the year, including last night, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he almost cost me money last night. And, you know, hoping he can get it tuned back in. Schwellenbach had a couple of – one game he got hit pretty hard. Two games were just bad luck, but he had a good game last night. And then Sale has changed his release point.
Yeah, I saw that.
And that seems to have fixed. So it wasn't an injury or anything. He was just – and it's hard to tell early on without the use of some of the the motion display overlays and stuff.
Yeah, you
can't, it's such a small, dude, it was like 1 degree off.
I was gonna say, yeah, I saw the side by side and I was like, yeah, I guess that's different.
Even the side by side you can barely tell.
Yeah.
But when you look at the performance and also the velocity, it's 3-4 miles per hour faster.
Yeah.
Just a little bit higher. I'm like, damn, dude, that's pretty wild. But good news on that front, because it's not an injury. We thought it might be an oblique or something like that, which he's had trouble with in the past. Turns out it's just bad mechanics. So we got lucky on that one.
Yeah, and that's kind of the first topic folded into the bigger Braves. They've rebounded nicely from their horrific start to the season since their series against the Twins. So you remember couple weeks ago, we were like, we got to start winning series.
Mm.
These Rays and Blue Jays series coming up are huge. We need to win these. We lost both those series. Fucking horrible. And it got to the point where it's like, I don't know what's even going to happen at this point because they look so bad. But since those two series, because we said this was a pretty squishy part of the schedule, all things considered, aside from that Dodgers series, which went about as expected, we did get a game from them at least. But since those two series ended and we played the Twins, the Braves are 13-5 over the last 18 games.
Mm.
And there are a lot of good signs, actually. One of them, Chris Sale, his last three starts have been pretty brilliant. A little inefficient in two of them, but still 18.2 innings pitched, 3 earned runs across those 18.2 innings, 24 strikeouts. Including, I think, 2 10 strikeout games, only 4 walks and only 15 hits. So he seems to be, aside from, and he did go deep against the Reds, I think. He went 7 against the Reds, but I think he didn't get out of the 5th in Arizona or Colorado. Colorado's just a weird place to pitch, so I don't really ever begrudge, even though the Rockies are ass. Like, it's still, for a pitcher, I just feel like it's,
yeah,
not a sweet place to be.
No, he's looked, he's looked pretty good last couple of outings. 10 Ks, 2 games in a row. Again, it's Colorado and Cincinnati. Colorado's offense is terrible. Cincinnati's is pretty good.
Yeah, I like Cincinnati's lineup. I think it's pretty decent.
Yeah, and he had a good game, inefficient against Arizona, but Arizona's got a pretty good offense too. I think the last 3 games, he's kind of gotten comfortable with the new release point.
Yeah.
So I think we'll start seeing just a normal 6-8 inning Chris Sale moving forward, which is nice.
Would be absolutely huge having him and Schwellenbach both in the form they need to be in at the top of the rotation.
Yeah, then Schwellenbach was a little rusty, it seemed, or whatever. I don't know what it was. He just didn't have a feel for his pitches for a couple of games, and you can tell.
Yeah, I mean, he pitched well against the Reds last night.
Yeah, yeah, he looked good last night. Yeah, you could tell the body language, though, the last couple of games. He just couldn't get a feel for it, and that happens sometimes. I mean, that's the difference between a good pitcher and a great pitcher, right? Right. A great pitcher learns how to pitch when he doesn't have the feel, and he's like 22 years old, so I'm sure he'll figure it out at some point. He's a smart guy. Strider threw a bullpen Wednesday. Probably back next week.
Yeah, I mean, imagine. He's on the team. Like, he's not. They didn't send him anywhere.
Yeah,
he was on the field celebrating with Drake Baldwin last night.
Yeah, so. Who is a superstar, by the way, and he's playing 2 days a week. So probably need to look into that.
Well, at least it's a good problem situation.
Well, the good part of that problem would be to probably trade Sean Murphy for a shortstop. To be honest, I love the guy. He's an elite defensive catcher, and he hits bombs.
Yeah,
right, but Drake Baldwin's 23 years old.
Right.
And I think Baldwin and Trump plus a shortstop that's going to give you 20 to 30 home runs a year equals more than having Sean Murphy on the team.
Yeah, and Trump would basically just be the defensive guy on day games. Yeah,
and Baldwin is a pretty good – I mean, he hosed somebody last night.
Oh, my God.
That kid can play he can do everything a catcher needs to do. So that's no smoke on Sean Murphy. He's also on a good contract.
Yes.
So the team's going to have some control on him for a while. So I really think we need to flip that into a shortstop pretty soon.
I wouldn't hate that. I mean, he's definitely like an asset, like a movable asset. But that Baldwin, let's talk about Baldwin a little bit last night, because he had the walk-off hit in extras, which was a really good at-bat. Rogers was throwing the ball well, fooling a lot of people with his sweeper, I think it is. And Baldwin, I believe, was behind in the count.
1-2, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, for a rookie against a pretty solid reliever with a juxtaposed two-pitch selection between the fastball and the sweeper, for him to be able to hang in there and put a high fastball through the shortstop, that it was a really, really, it wasn't like a long at-bat, but it was a really good at-bat. I was impressed with Baldwin last night. That was awesome. But his throw out, also in extras, by the way. Did you watch the game last night?
Yeah.
Holy shit. That might have been the most incompetent two-way extra innings I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Both of those teams were just doing the worst possible fucking things in extra innings. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But Baldwin, and one of the things actually was Baldwin's throwout. The Reds were desperate. The play before that, Olson made an incredible defensive play, more on instinct than, I mean, it was a good play.
He's always a great defender, though. Yeah. So
read the bunt perfectly, and since no one can bunt, and we'll get more into that in a second.
Yeah. You cannot, when you see, it's not like Olson's a small guy, 6'4 or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? And they're clearly running the wheel play. The wheel play is where the first baseman just sells out, charges, and he's looking to throw to third base no matter what happens. You cannot bunt the ball to him. What the fuck are you doing? But then again, none of those guys could bunt anyways. Arcia popped up on the first pitch.
Yep.
There was somebody else for the Reds that tried to bunt and couldn't get one down, too.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. I mean, when I was playing baseball, during batting practice, the first thing you did was bunt. And I'm sure they still do that now, but it doesn't seem like they take it very seriously. Like, high school baseball coach at when I transferred as a senior, we would, once a week, everybody on the team has to get bunts down. And if we don't, it's a lap around the entire field.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody, we go through all nine dudes, and once you get one down correctly, you're out. But you still got to run.
Yeah.
Right. And until everybody in our starting lineup for that week's game had to get a bunt down or whatever. And we ran a lot of laps, but we also, the trick to bunting is to pull the bat, like pretend you're pulling an arrow out of a quiver.
Yeah.
And that's where you should be, like this.
Yeah.
Right? And then you watch the ball into the bat. And this hand, Your bottom hand on the bat never goes below your top hand, ever, no matter what happens. If you've got to get on your knees to put the bat on the ground to bunt a low pitch, like on a squeeze or something that, that's what you do. You never do this because this is pop-up. Even levels pop-up most of the time, right? This is how you get the ball on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's just physics. I don't understand why these motherfuckers don't understand it.
It's
and it's not just like these two teams. It's all of baseball.
There's
one guy in baseball that can bunt. Yeah. I don't even know who it is, but I know there's one.
They don't want him there anymore. I was actually to that point about like training people to bunt or whatever. I've talked about this before on one of the shows, but you know how in Japan, like their March Madness is a humongous high school baseball tournament.
Yeah.
So there, I caught a highlight of one of those games the other day. And it was like, it was like a big upset. This was like a powerhouse high school playing. And this other team had just like they don't ever win. They're just a dog shit little high school. And I didn't know this because I have not watched a lot of Japanese high school baseball. The stadium was packed. It was like Friday Night Lights. Like it was a huge stadium and it was packed. It showed the ninth and then extras. And between, I think it went to like the 11th or 12th inning. And they showed every AB. About 50% of the at-bats, at least, were bunts. Like those guys, they didn't show every single one because I think guys got like walks and stuff, but they showed every time the ball made contact with the bat. And anytime there was a guy on base, it was just bump, 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 bump. Like the whole fucking team.
I would start hitting people in the face. If I was the pitcher, there's no way I would allow that to happen.
Yeah.
That's very insulting. And I would start hitting people.
That's their game plan, apparently.
It's a game plan to send some people to the hospital. I used to do that all the time. If somebody tried to bunt on me in high school, I fucking lit them up.
Go inside. And
to the chest every single time. Yep. Do not bunt on me. That's just the rule, man. Like, I'm not. Here's the thing. I don't want to go field the ball.
Right.
I definitely don't want to run. So if you, and those are the rules of the game. You're going to get first base. That's fine.
Yeah.
But you're also going to get hurt really
badly. I'm willing to make that trade off.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would stare them down too. Somebody starts to bunt. The first time, if there's nobody on base and they're trying to bunt, the first time I hit the ball, right?
Yeah.
Like Bull Durham, I throw it over their head.
Yeah.
Like behind their head. And then I fucking stare at them as I'm catching the ball back from the umpire. Like, don't do that again. I just shake my head. Nope, don't do that again.
Because they're just trying to bunt for a hit at that point.
Yeah.
It's not a strategic bunt.
Yeah. If it's strategic, obviously I've got to take care of that. Also, if you're just for you young pitchers out there, I know a lot of young people listen to this show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If somebody's trying to squeeze on you, you got to hit them. That's the only way to stop it from happening.
Yeah.
Right? Like if especially if you see the guy on third gets a good jump, you're supposed to hit the bunter. You're supposed to hit the batter.
Okay.
If on the suicide squeeze, you're supposed to hit the batter.
Because it's dead ball.
It's a dead ball.
Right.
So like good fucking luck.
Yeah.
And it's make sure you hit him good too. That way the next guy comes up, he's a little, I don't know, apprehensive about taking that position.
About taking that same squeeze sign.
Yeah. Baseball used to be the ultimate game of intimidation. To be honest.
Yeah.
Like football, everybody gets hit on every play. Basketball, there were only a couple of teams, the Celtics and the Pistons, that really ever did that. And I'm talking about even to this day. Maybe the early 2000s Pistons to some degree, but the game's just changed so much now. It's not a thing anymore. And our test, I guess, in Indiana, I mean, they Malice in the Palace, that whole
right.
thing.
Against
but that was, the fans.
Yeah.
But baseball used to be the ultimate game of intimidation. People like Randy Johnson and Roger Clemens and Nolan Ryan and these guys were like, you fuck around up there, you're getting hurt, man.
Yeah.
Pedro was one of them too. Like, I'm going to hit you.
Threw an old man to the ground.
Well, that the old man was charging at him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love
Don Zimmer,
but you can't do that. You know, don't fucking chew or take a bite you can't chew. But, yeah, baseball used to be like the ultimate intimidation game like that. And it was a better game when it was like that, too.
I think baseball probably needs to go back to the rule in some capacity where, I don't know if you know this, but before baseball was fully modernized, you could get the runner out by hitting them with the ball.
I think that ended in like the 1880s. Oh, maybe. It was
certainly before the 20th century.
It was, but it wasn't that much before. Like some of the Hall of Fame stats come from that 1880 decade. Like Nat Lajoie and people like that were playing at that point. I think his first year. Hold on, let me look him up.
My thing is, I don't think you should do it. I don't think you should bring that back for every single play. But, and here's my.
Well, 1896 was his first year, my bad. Anyways.
Here's my idea for that. You're allowed to hit the runner with the ball and get them out when they're stealing and on outfield assists.
I mean, so you're talking about from a distance.
Yes.
Hitting people with the ball while they're running.
Yeah.
I feel like you should get some credit for that, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, from home to second base is 120 feet, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more. I think it's 121 or something like that. From right field to third base is that's a good throw. That's like 200 feet probably.
Have you ever seen the picture of when Oakland and the Coliseum split between the Raiders and the A's? And, you know, the football field goes across the infield, and they showed how long a throw from third base to first base is in football terms.
Mm, how long is it?
It was like 30-something yards, 30, 40 yards.
From third to first?
Yeah.
And then how long? I guess you can't really tell from the outfield.
Not on that picture. But the point is that is a intermediate to long-range throw for a quarterback from third to first. So if you're talking about home to second or home to basically home in the second base path or home in the second to third base path, or anything from the outfield anywhere, that's an incredible throw.
Mm. Yeah. And if you peck somebody, for sure.
Get them.
Yeah.
They're fucking out.
I think that's fair.
That would be, by the way, that would bring some excitement back to the sport.
Yeah. And hurt some feels, too.
Yeah. And, by the way, on that note, to bring it back to the Braves, what were we talking about? The Reds stealing second base with a pretty slow guy, but the pitch got in there so late that I was like, fuck, he's got it. And then Baldwin pops up and throws it and had him dead to rights. The guy actually made a good slide to make it a competitive steal. But in terms of when the ball got there, I mean, he had him fucking beat. It was an incredible throw.
Yeah.
And pop. Like, I mean, the guy was not the fastest guy in the world. I forget who it was for the Reds. I think maybe not Adam Dunn, but I thought his last name was maybe Dunn or something like that.
Yeah, it is Dunn.
Okay,
it's,
yeah, so it's Dunn.
Brian Blake. Dunn. Yeah.
So Dunn, I mean, when that ball hit his glove and he was getting up to throw, I was like, that took a long time. This guy's going to be on second base.
Yeah, good slide. If he, to be honest,
he didn't hold the bag.
If he had held onto the bag, then he's safe.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have been, so that's the problem. He would have been called out either way because the umpire saw the helmet in the way and he couldn't see the tag on the body yet.
Yeah.
So he just called him out because technically.
So the helmet saved him as well. It was a good slide, but the helmet popped off and hit Ozzie's glove. If the helmet hadn't been there, Ozzie would have got him on the chest before he got in.
Yeah.
But the helmet saved him. And as Ozzie was hitting the helmet, he was able to not really swim move, but able to just like get on his side and get her. It was a great slide. Mm, it really was. It's a shame he had to be out because it was an excellent slide. But man, Baldwin, with how quickly the ball got there compared to what I thought was going to happen, I was just super impressed with Baldwin's play there.
Yeah.
But the Braves, are you starting to feel a little optimistic? I mean, I think they've been playing well. Two things I really like about them right now. I've said this on a previous show, although they were still losing at the time. I was like, you know, they're getting resilient. They're having good at bats in the late innings, and that's still true. They have been. At the plate, they have been fantastic.
Some people have.
Yeah.
Harris has not looked good.
Harris has had a couple big hits in the late innings recently, including last night.
In the late innings?
Yeah.
What?
He tied the game last night.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he had either a game winner or another game tire a night or two before. He's been having good ABs late in the game, but overall, I would agree that he's not where we want him to be.
No, he's Jason Hayward 2.0. Even better defensively,
yeah,
to be honest. So, I mean, that's fine. He's a center fielder. But he's not going to be an elite hitter, I don't think.
It's
There's giant holes in his swing on both sides of the plate.
Yeah.
And he's doing it, it. So it doesn't look like anything's being done to fix it, right? But that's, you know, sometimes it takes time to fix those sort of things.
I will say this, and I think it would have probably eventually served, it would have served Hayward to think this way. And I think maybe he started to eventually. And I think it might start serving Michael Harris to think this way as well. You know, we signed him to that contract, and he's had decent power numbers, I think, in 1 year maybe. But people are, I think, sort of in the organization, maybe, certainly the fans, still enamored with this idea, as they were with Hayward based on his size and his first at-bat ever, enamored with the idea that he could be a 25 to 30 home run guy. I think you need to just reorient him and be like, you are fast, you are athletic, you need to be putting the ball in play. I don't need you to be trying to hit home runs. I need you to be thinking more like Derek Jeter. Yeah.
I mean, in today's game, he's not a huge strikeout guy, to be frank. I mean, he's in his 110, 138, 110 games played seasons. It's right around 100 strikeouts. That's not, I mean, in today's game, that's not terrible.
No.
So he's not, it's not like he's striking out 150, 200 times or anything like that. But yeah, he could definitely, there's a lot of room for improvement. And he's just got, if in the playoffs, I don't see him being super successful at the plate, to be honest.
Like, not with the way he takes at bats.
Yeah. No. I mean, he doesn't seem like he's got a real plan up there. And again, he's got holes on both sides of the swing. You've got to fix one of them.
Yeah.
Right? You can't have holes on both sides like that. It just doesn't work out. So,
but I mean, he's such, I just don't understand how they're not emphasizing getting on base more with him. Like, it just, again, it seems like they really want him to be, they really want, still want him to be a power hitter. But the two things with that is, one, he's so fucking fast that if you worry more about him making good contact and, you know, you sacrifice home runs for doubles, he, if he puts the ball in play, he's a double threat on anything that isn't, you know, a pretty, like, open and shut base hit.
Yeah.
Like any mid ball that's like a little bit in the gap but gets cut off, he is a double threat there. And in general, whether or not he even tries to steal a base, he's a threat on the base pass because he's so fucking fast. He's first to third, no problem. He's, if he's on second, almost anything is going to score him. It's just the type of thing where he needs to be on the bases. I don't care if he hits 25 home runs a year, if he hits 30 doubles a year.
Yeah. Yeah, he's so Barry Bonds didn't hit 30 home runs in a season until his fifth year in the league. He learned how to hit first.
Yeah.
Right? His he scored 100 runs that season for the first time as well. Never really struck out much. He only struck out 100 times once in his entire career, and it was his rookie year. Which is wild.
Yeah.
But that was the game back then, I guess.
It was definitely less strikeouts back then. But either way, he's still Barry Bonds.
Yeah. It's like, you're talking about probably the best hitter of all time, to be honest. One of the top five, for sure. It's him, Pujols, and a couple other people.
Yeah, five. Yeah, five.
Ted Williams, Pujols. I mean, it's...
If you want to go, like, straight pure hitters, I would probably put, like, Musial over maybe, like, Gehrig or... Or even Ruth.
Yeah, I mean, the guys in the 20s, I don't really...
Yeah.
It's hard to gauge them, but... Yeah, his... it still took him time to develop, so... You know, next year would be the year that Harris would match Bonds in hitting his first 30 home run season.
Okay.
I just don't think it's that important to hit 30 home runs if you're a guy that's that fast.
No, you know? I don't either. Like, there's so much to his game that... reducing it to him being great at defense and hitting 30 home, like, we don't need him to be Andrew Jones.
Yeah.
I need him to be good. He needs to just be Michael Harris, whatever that entails. And by the way, like, when you start making contact and seeing the ball well, like, that shit comes. I just when you're going for home runs first, it just, you're gonna fail a lot.
Yeah.
Where and again, it's just, he needs to be on the bases.
Well, when he's hitting well, he's hitting line drives.
Right.
You know, I mean, even some of his home runs are line drives into the opposite field as well. So, yeah, he's like, this big loopy swing is not it.
It doesn't serve him.
And, you know, I mean, Austin Riley had this problem a couple of years ago. They brought in Chipper to fix him. I don't know that we have a left-handed specialist. I mean, Chipper's a switch hitter, so maybe. He's
better from the left.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love Chipper to work with him. And yeah, if you remember Riley, like in that 2020, that 2020 COVID season, it was just like, well, I hope he makes contact because he doesn't a lot. If he does, he crushes it. And now he's a completely different guy. The other things with the Braves that I've liked so far, since May 27th, arbitrary cutoff, but whatever. Since May 27th, the Braves have the fourth best bullpen ERA in baseball.
Everybody except for Iglesias has been pretty good in the bullpen. Yeah, actually.
The bullpen is figuring it out, which again leads to the other side of the other side of the game, them being resilient in the late innings, because in the last 3 weeks they know that the other team's probably not going to score, maybe unless Iglesias is on the mound.
Yeah,
they have been excellent in the late innings for the past almost month, and I there's been multiple games where they've been down, and I've been like, this is fine, and I never felt that way last year for most of the year, and certainly the first 3 weeks of this season. So it's nice to see. It's nice not to feel hopeless when they go down 2-0.
Yeah. That's always a bit of a comfort, you know, when you're a hitter, knowing that you just got to get up there and do your job.
Yeah.
And things will probably work out, and it's worked out quite a bit. I think they've got the best record in baseball in extra innings this year. They're undefeated in extra innings so far this year.
Then certainly at worst tied for the best. Yeah, I mean, I think they beat the Reds twice in extras this series alone.
Yeah, let me see if let's see expanded.
And I think they walked them off the other time. It was a tight series.
Yeah, the Braves are 4-0 in extras this year. So doing pretty well.
And that's with I guess Iglesias gave that up in the ninth. This past game. Another thing I wanted to talk about, title of the show. Man, Snickers just cooked. I don't know what the fuck is going on anymore.
Yeah, he's not good.
It's getting egregious. Like, again, we talked about, like, in the first game of the year, him bringing in, like, a random, like, a guy that wouldn't have been in a high leverage situation. They lose that game to the Padres and stuff like that. But even in this series alone, the decisions he's making are absurd in the Reds series. We went 3-1 against the Reds in a 4-game series. Could have won all four. I guess could have lost all four, so you can, because they were all really close. But yeah. Fuck that. Could have won all four. The game we lose, we're up. We have a chance to win in the bottom of the ninth. He pinch hits Eddie Rosario for Eli White.
Yeah, who's been on fucking fire lately.
Yes.
Like, in basketball and baseball, like, hot hand theory is, you know, there's making your last shot is no guarantee that you're going to make your next one necessarily, but being locked in timing-wise is better than coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Especially if you've been locked in timing for several days in a row, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck was he thinking? I don't understand it, man. It's like the kind of move that an idiot would make, and there you go.
It's fucking crazy. So, Eddie, first off, yeah, Eli White hitting .303 with an .888 OPS. He has been one of the people kind of help saving the Braves so far, help keeping them afloat. Playing right field, good defense in right field too. Mm-hmm. But he pinch hits Eddie Rosario, who I guess was 1-for-2 against that reliever. I forget his name. With a home run
from when, like 10 years ago?
It was last year, but still, Rosario's had like 3 at-bats all year. He just came up from the minor leagues. He's absolutely washed. Like, I love him. Thank you forever for your fucking service in that NLCS. Mm. Like, truly, he was electric. I will always love Eddie Rosario. I will always have a soft spot for Eddie Rosario. I don't even blame Eddie Rosario for the situation. It's not his fault.
Mm.
Putting Eddie Rosario in there for Eli White. Now, the other thing is he maybe wanted a lefty up, because you know who else was on the bench that night? Sean Murphy. So So he benches a guy with a goddamn near 900 OPS.
Oh, I've got a gut feeling like your gut is retarded, dude. Jesus Christ.
And Eddie Rosario, by the way, that at bat, just the meekest strikeout you've ever seen. Like, clearly, again, I don't even blame Eddie. Like, clearly just not locked in, has not seen a lot of live pitches. It's not his fucking fault. Like, put him in a game that doesn't matter or in a situation that doesn't matter and let him get some reps. Like, that is not with the game on the line when, look, the season's not over or anything like that, but, like, you want to get wins. You want to stack wins where they're available. And it just an inexplicable move. I don't give a fuck about that lefty-righty matchup. I don't give a fuck that Eddie had a home run off him last year against the Nationals in a random game. I don't care.
Yeah, that's weird.
Either leave Eli White in or use Sean Murphy, but that wouldn't even make any sense because you're just swapping one righty out for another. So just leave Eli White.
Well, Sean Murphy's quite a bit better hitter than Eli White, but not lately.
Yeah.
Eli White's hitting 300 right now.
Yeah. Just leave. And Eli White, by the way, and I'll talk about this more in a little bit.
He went to my original high school, by the way, Wren High School.
Oh, yeah, because he's a Clemson guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Eli White has also just been, like, grinding at bats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's, I don't know what his, I guess we look, what his, let's see, pitches per plate appearance, 3.67. It's all right. It's not bad. That's a little lower than his career average, actually. But yeah, lately he's been really grinding it out. He's having the best season of his career right now.
Oh, yeah. He's been fantastic. And then last night, again, Arcia is in. I forgot who he even pinch hit for. Actually, let me see that. He came in for somebody. Who did he come in for? I think it was a situation where like a pinch runner or something got swapped around. Okay, yeah. I think Eddie Rosario came in to pinch run for Sean Murphy at one point in a close situation. And then Arcia replaced him at the plate to literally just put down this bunt, I guess.
When's the last time he bunted?
I don't know. He hasn't even hit in like a month. Anyway, Arcia, first pitch, fucking immediately pops it up in foul territory, out.
Nope. Yeah, he's, this is just more evidence that two things need to happen for the Braves to be successful. Snitker needs to get fired, and like 3 years ago, four years ago, actually, even before that title, that he should have been fired.
I think
terrible,
he mismanaged the 2019 NLDS pretty badly.
He's a terrible manager, and he always has been, and he always will be. There's no hope that he'll ever be good. And I think they're going to have to bite the bullet and trade Sean Murphy for a shortstop. I think that would be a smart move.
Yeah. I mean, off the top of my head, I don't know what shortstops would be available.
Well, right now, who knows? It's unlikely that shortstop's having a good season on a bad team. I'm going to look. Actually, hang on. Jacob Wilson on Oakland, but they're having a great season. Oakland's maybe going to make the playoffs this year.
That would be
in
wonderful.
Sacramento. The Sacramento A's
playoff games in a minor league stadium.
Yeah, there's no way Major League Baseball lets that happen. But
I mean,
it'd be really funny if
they're
did.
Dumb enough to do it.
Let's see.
Also, the type of thing is too. You don't want to get a worse player back, like than Sean Murphy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Just because you want to like quickly fill a hole. The shortstop, I mean, it's pretty. The Twins suck if you wanted to try to chase Correa. I don't know if I'd want to do that, though.
Legs all fucked up.
Yeah.
Nobody wants him.
I know we were talking about Bo Bichette, but I don't know that that's worth, you know, I don't know if that's worth Sean Murphy.
I mean, yeah, hard to say. He's not looked good this year. He's actually, I think, having a pretty bad season right now.
Yeah. And then I don't know. There's just a lot of contenders still right now. Like obviously Bobby Witt's not going anywhere. Arizona's not going to part with their starter. The Mets, Dodgers. I mean, Mookie Betts, I guess, the Dodgers shortstop. Houston, Seattle's not. Cleveland's not. The Cubs aren't. I mean, Dansby. The Yankees won't. Not that Volpe's even good right now. And then let's see by WRC Plus what these guys are here. The highest WRC Plus shortstop on a non-winning team is Ellie De La Cruz.
Yeah, they're not giving him up.
No. And then Gunnar Henderson and Bo Bichette. Everyone else is playing for a contender or sucks. Yeah. There's...
CJ Abrams is a pretty good shortstop.
Who's he on?
Nationals.
Okay.
Although he's 24. I don't know if they're going to trade him.
That might be.
In division. But he's hitting .286, .414, .855 OPS.
I think we're just kind of fucking stuck right now with, I will say, though, a guy I don't hate because it's not Arcia. So those are Snicker's most recent sins. But I wanted to give some love to Anthopoulos, actually. I think the prevailing theory now is that he was not given the resources he was told he was going to get in the offseason and was a bit handcuffed, hence us not getting a starter, the shortstop remaining the way it was, outfield remaining the way it was. And he's made some... moves, obviously, that deserve to be shit on, like the Profar signing. Not that it was a ton of money, but that... I guess he did think he addressed the outfield, which, fair enough. However, he has made three... And I guess if the bullpen keeps going the way it is, then he might have built a pretty good bullpen as well.
They're looking pretty good, yeah.
But he's made three moves that I think have been really good. And these three guys have seriously... helped keep the Braves afloat with just energy more than anything else, although they have contributed quite a bit on the field. We talked about Eli White. He's been fantastic.
Yeah.
Eli White has been an absolute spark plug in the lineup. Shout out to Arcia's replacement, Nick Allen, who...
Yeah, he's looked good, yeah.
He's been very good defensively. His offensive numbers are okay for shortstop, but... he has good at bats. Like, I haven't seen Nick Allen have a shitty at bat, right? I've seen Orlando Arcia have 1,000 shitty at bats. I've seen other guys in other positions, you know, I've seen Michael Harris have more bad at bats than Nick Allen so far this year. Nick Allen is not, you know, he's not hitting 300. He's not a 360 on base guy, but he is a difficult at bat for a pitcher.
Yeah.
He gets up there. He knows what he's doing. He just takes professional at bats. And for a 9-hole hitter, I don't know what more you could ask for unless you are on the Dodgers or the 27 Yankees.
Yeah. No, he's looked good. Definitely just being a tough at bat is something.
Yeah.
You know,
especially to wear a pitcher out a little bit mentally when the lineup flips over.
Mm-hmm.
That is a useful resource. It's not all just about, obviously, like hitting home runs and everything. Like, yeah. Even as an at bat doesn't have to end with you on base for it to be productive.
Yeah. Especially, you know, if you do something situational. I mean, hitting behind runners, not striking out, going deep into counts, whatever.
Yeah.
That's all valuable.
I think he's been a really, really valuable addition at the 9-hole. And again, he's been good at short. Like, he's been. Good defensive short. And then the third guy, he's cooled off a little bit, but things really, to me, started to change when Verdugo got called up to the Major League club. I think there's some energy there with him, and he was hitting over 300 and had a couple big games, but even still, he has, I think, stabilized the lineup in a lot of ways. They're not trying to figure out who's hitting leadoff right now. It's just Verdugo's spot. Everyone else can relax. It's been a move that has benefited the Braves quite a bit. Now, will it continue to? I don't know. It might be the type of thing when Acuna comes back that we see either Cunha or Eli White move to left and Verdugo becomes a bench piece if Eli White's season keeps going the way it is.
Yeah.
Or Eli White and Verdugo.
Probably platoon left.
Platoon, I believe. Are they left? They're lefty-righty. Mm-hmm. Verdugo's lefty and Eli White's righty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Verdugo's, he's hitting 260, which is fine. On base percentage is lacking at 316. But again, there's just been a stability with him, and there's been an energy with the club since he's come up that at least in the short term, it's been a good stopgap that has helped turn this team around. Again, I think when Acuna's back, you're probably not going to see as much of Verdugo, especially if White keeps hitting the way he is. But it's worked. It's working.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, it's hard to argue with that part, to be honest.
Yeah.
So that's good. We'll see how it continues. Because there really isn't, if you look in the open market, there's no shortstop out there.
No.
So good fucking luck, I guess.
I think it's just going to be Nick Allen or Eli White's a utility guy. Does he play shortstop ever?
I'm sure he plays sometimes. I'm not sure how good he is. I mean, yeah, it's a premium defensive position too, so.
And which one of them, I forget which one came from the A's. It was either White or Allen, but I can't fucking remember off the top.
Who knows?
But yeah, those are moves I like. And again, if the bullpen is rounding into form and stays, I don't expect them to pitch a 2.57 ERA all year, but if they stay at this level of being a top 10 bullpen in the league, then you've got a good bullpen.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and that's, you know, going down the street, if you're getting into the playoffs, that's something that matters. Now, we'll see if Iglesias is able to pull it back together, because right now he looks terrible. But
That's going to be something to look at. But I think with the way the lineup's shaking out and the way the roster's shaking out and the way, you know, things are going to move forward, I think probably the only places they're really going to be able to address needs is going to be on the mound, both bullpen and starting pitching. So I think if they are active at the deadline at all, if you see Sean Murphy move, for example, it's probably, I would imagine, for a starter to get depth on the rotation because, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Ronaldo Lopez. Let's just assume Strider comes back and is Spencer Strider. You got a great three. But you might just want to, I don't know. If you can't strengthen a weakness, then I guess, you know, make a strength stronger.
Yeah.
Right? Give yourself more redundancy and more, just tighten up. Again, adding a fourth starter who's really good, you could do that for Sean Murphy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, Nacho Alvarez is going to come back at some point.
Yeah.
He's on the 60. I think he broke his wrist, right?
So I don't remember talking about it.
It's like 10 to 12 weeks or something like that. So he'll be back mid-season. So maybe they're not terribly concerned about the shortstop position. Lopez did arthroscopic on his shoulder. He's down for 12. He's 4 weeks into that. So 8 more weeks than a rehab assignment. So 10 weeks out.
What is that, like the All-Star break, basically?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he'll probably come back after the All-Star break, I would imagine. So yeah, we're going to get a lot of arms back too. And then you got what, 2 or 3 weeks, about 3 weeks to figure out if they're serviceable before you have to make a deal before deadline. So there's time to work all this stuff out, see how Acuna is doing and all that, and decide if you want to go after, a position player or a pitcher, I would assume, like you said, if not a starter, even a closer that's out there that might look attractive on a team that's not looking good. So there's a lot of stuff that can happen there.
I mean, that's always going to be the easiest thing to be had is pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, there's only one shortstop on each team, basically, but obviously there's
one starter. For sure, yeah.
Yeah. And again, like we said, shortstop, there just doesn't even appear to be a market for it right now, just with the way the standings are shaking out. But before we get to go any further, we're brought to you by MyBookie. MyBookie.com is where we make all our picks. We're going to give you our baseball picks for the weekend, our parlays. We go to MyBookie.com to make those. And if you use the promo code Drinkin' Bros, you will double your first deposit up to $1,000. You put in $1,000, you get $1,000. If you put in $20, you get $20. All the way in between, whatever. They'll match it for your first deposit with the promo code Drinkin' Bros. Also, if you are a longtime player on MyBookie, you're part of the MyBookie Plus rewards program. You have a bunch of cool stuff in there. Bets, like special bets, and my favorite is the rakebacks, where you know, if you have a bad weekend or a bad week or whatever, and you're a longtime player, they'll toss you a little money back. They'll say, hey, thanks for being a loyal customer. We're sorry things didn't work out so well this week. Here's a little bit to put some money on, and obviously we always advise to take that, go put it on a big fat fucking parlay and win it all back. MyBookie.com takes care of its customers, and they have bets on everything. They had bets on the Pope, which no one picked correctly, unfortunately, because that would have made you a shit ton of money. But yeah, you can bet on anything on MyBookie, including golf. Dan did his show last night for that. Who's your pick this week?
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter? No. Weak-ass tourney?
No, it's a great tournament. It's in Philly.
Well, that's has nothing to do with whether or not it's a great tournament, asshole.
Or if it matters.
It does matter. It's a elevated event, but none of my guys are like remotely in it.
Oh, because it already started. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I forgot about that.
It's Friday. We made the picks on Tuesday, Wednesday.
All right. Whatever. Anyway, also tonight got some NBA action. The Pacers are somehow dogs at home to an injured Cleveland Cavaliers team.
Yeah. I mean, certainly Cleveland's going to come out full retard, but that's one of the toughest places in the NBA to play. And it has been forever. It's not new. But yeah, with this team, the way they play, the way they grind it out, yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to bet that.
Yeah.
Let me see.
I think they were 2.5-point dogs yesterday. I have not checked.
It's 4.5.
What?
No. Cleveland minus 4.5. Oh, that's my God. That's on ESPN. Let me check my bookie really quick.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It did move. It moved up 2 points. Is someone back?
Well, Mobley and what's his nuts were both questionable for tonight. Yeah. So maybe they're both back. But yeah, it's minus 4.5.
Garland's out, though.
Does he say that?
Yeah, Darius Garland is like injured.
Yeah, Garland says game time decision. DeAndre Hunter and Evan Mobley, it all says game time decision. So Vegas seems to think that at least one of these dicks is coming back.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to matter. I think the Pacers win this game. I'm going to I'll parlay the let me just do it now, actually. So Pacers minus or plus 4.5, and then the Nuggets plus 5.5. I'm taking both of those. That'll get you a about 2.5 to 1 odds. I'm just going to throw a quick hundo on that one.
All right.
See how that goes.
Yeah, why not?
I've hit multiple double dog parlays this year, so may as well.
I mean, if you're betting dogs in this round of the NBA playoffs, you're making a lot of money because it's all dogs so far for the most part. But yeah, mybookie.com is where we make those picks, and now we're going to give you our weekend parlays.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you the Friday games here. Got some decent series. Also some surprising stuff just in terms of how some things are shaking out so far this year. Starting off with the Tigers against the Rangers. You're not going to get great odds on this. Obviously, that's why we parlay these things. But Skubal's going for the Tigers against a Rangers team that just had to fire their hitting coach. The Tigers are 25-13, one of the best teams in baseball right now. The Rangers, who were one of, I think they were my World Series pick, only 18-20 right now, kind of scuffling a little bit. They do have Patrick Corbin going, who has had a good year so far, but Skubal's like maybe the best pitcher in baseball right now. So I'll take the he just won the Triple Crown last year in the American League, sailed in the National League. But yeah, I'll take the Tigers. I like the Cardinals over the Nationals. Fetty hasn't had a great year so far, but I do like Fetty, and the Nats are just whatever. I like the Brewers over the Rays in their little minor league ballpark with Quintana on the mound. I'm going to stay away from Philly's Guardians, even though Nola's pitching. And he hasn't been great, but the Cleveland guy, not that good either. Unfortunately, the Marlins and White Sox are playing each other, which is just a huge waste.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the Astros over the Reds at home, and the Giants over the Twins, Padres over the Rockies. and probably leave it at that. Yeah. Mm. So Padres over Rockies, Giants over Twins, Astros over Reds, Brewers over Rays, Cards over Nats, and Tigers over Rangers.
I'm doing Sunday's games. So first is Braves at Pittsburgh. It's a day game. Chris Sale, definitely taking the Braves there. The Royals at home against the Red Sox. Giolito for Boston does not look good. Seth Lugo's look great for Kansas City, so I'm going there. Twins at home versus the Giants. Lopez is going against Raup, however you say his name. Twins have been on a decent little run lately, and they're 12-6 at home. Padres at the Rockies. Pavetta's pitching for the Padres, but to be honest, it wouldn't matter to
Doesn't
me.
Matter.
Athletics at home versus the Yankees with Severino on the mound, getting a little revenge.
And he's
looked really good. Yeah. The win-loss record doesn't look great, but his back-end stats look really good. There's a fun game to watch, Dodgers-Diamondbacks, but I'm not betting that one because it's Gonsolin versus Gallen. Neither have been super sharp this year, but those are both good pitchers.
And they're both good teams. Yeah. Like, who knows?
One's not going to be on there. But Phillies at the Indians. Wheeler's going for the Phillies, and he's looking like Zach Wheeler. So,
yeah.
Again, that's Braves, Royals, Twins, Padres, Athletics, and Phillies. You should get pretty good odds on that.
Yeah, I mean, the more you stack on there, looking good. Any final thoughts on the Braves or the league so far that you've seen? It's been an interesting year in terms of the standings. Kind of a lot of unexpected shit. The Orioles are awful.
Yeah.
The Tigers look like world beaters. Cleveland's doing Cleveland shit, which is you don't know who plays for them and they're winning, even though Class A has not been good.
Yeah, yeah. My preseason Cy Young pick of Max Fried is looking pretty good right now.
Oh, my God. He's been on fire.
I think I got him like 8-1 or 9-1 or something like that. That's unless he gets hurt, I don't see how he doesn't win in the American League. Nobody's even close to him in the American League.
And honest to God, good for him. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
Yep. Yeah, it's another one that AA fucked up.
Apparently, they're not giving him any fucking money. But, yeah, I would like to have Max Fried back on this team right now.
Eh, you were fine letting him go. Don't lie.
Yeah, because he hasn't pitched a full season.
Like yeah, we'll see. I mean, if this is his first full season, that's going to be kind of annoying, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
But what are you going to do?
I still think even if he does great this year, pitches a Cy Young year this year, although Skubal's still in that league, so who knows.
Molly's doing really well, too.
Yeah, I think just eventually there's going to be two or three years where he's doesn't pitch very much
or maybe at all to be honest so we'll see how it goes, but it's we're getting into the dog days now.
Yep.
So we're gonna see who was a flash and who's actually legit.
The another one that I find I feel like I just feel bad overlooking it, but Cubs looking solid. Mm-hmm. And then the Cardinals surprisingly resilient, hanging around other somehow, than the Pirates. The entire Central is competitive with each other right now. It'll be a good race in that division for sure. Yeah. And honestly, in the AL Central as well. There's two bad teams in the AL Central, but the Royals, Indians, and Tigers all seem like they're all legit enough to win that division.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Been a good season so far. Been fun to watch. I'll probably lock in even more on non-Braves games once the NBA playoffs are over. I'm kind of more watching that in the NHL right now. There's another another overtime game last night in the NHL. So I kind of just watched that late night right now. But yeah. See you guys later.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.